the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Mitch Fortner. We're still kicking here. Ice hasn't taken us over yet. Why you got to do Wildcat Creek Fun and Fitness like that, by the way?
Accident.
Man, I just got their name out there one more time to make sure they get the full effect there. I'm just messing with you. Hey, it's been an interesting day.
I would mention we are live. We're not taped. This isn't the best of because there's been a change of plans.
Yeah, we have a lot of explaining to do here. This has been a crazy day. Let me clue you into this. It will be a totally live, totally fresh, totally organic show. Honestly, you as the listener to the game probably win by virtue of whatever happened today. We were going to do a best of show because Mitch and I are like the only two people here that know anything about sports in the building other than Brady, who is going to make a guest appearance today on the show, by the way. So we really didn't have any option in the way of guest hosts. Tyler's gone. Corey's gone. So we were. I spent the entire morning putting together this best of show, taping ins and outs and trying to plan it all out time wise, and literally spent like an hour and a half on it. I just about come to the end, and then I found out that Manhattan High basketball tonight at Topeka West was canceled and the game's being postponed. So, hey, we're able to do a live show now. We got that going for us. We're not going to have high school hoops tonight. The Manhattan games are moved to January 31st. Just an update on everybody else around the area. I've been trying to keep track of it throughout the day. Riley County also postponed their games tonight. Rock Creek is still going to play, but they're going girls varsity at 5, boys at 6:30. Wamego, Marysville, those games, both varsity games, will start at 6 o'clock. And then tomorrow, Frankfort and Blue Valley are playing in the TVL tournament. As of right now, that is still on. They're going to make a final decision on that early tomorrow morning. So tune into Scoreboard Saturday, which will air tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and you'll get all the details as far as that is concerned. I'll be filling in for Tyler Dreiling on that, part of a busy weekend and a busy week here for all of us. So now that that's out of the way, that's what's happening today on the show. You will hear from John Morris, who is the Baylor play-by-play voice at 5:10. I asked him what made everybody so wrong about Baylor this year. I'll give you a peek behind the curtain there. That's pre-recorded because that was scheduled to be a part of the put-on-tape show earlier today. But that is new content from him. Love John Morris. You'll hear from him at 5:10. There is some Chiefs breaking news that we'll get to in the second hour of the show. Sprinkle in a couple nuggets about K-State Baylor that I think may surprise you, including coming up later on this hour at 4:40, a Baylor narrative that I'm not buying heading into this game tomorrow at Bramlage Coliseum, and even the return of John in Vegas, which is coming up pretty soon in our next segment at 4:25. So you want to make some money?
This is huge.
You want to make some money? John in Vegas is coming back, yeah. I need to develop like some kind of total shtick to go along with that, like a different voice. If I were more confident in my impressions, I would try and do something like that. But alas, I'm not. All right, look, we've been talking for 3 days now about K-State hoops and the aftermath of the Texas Tech game and how big it will be playing the number one team in the country and what looks to be a fairly winnable game, especially if all you've seen of Baylor is their last game against West Virginia when they got run out of the building and turned it over 29 times. Yes, 29 times. K-State is hosting the number one team in the country. I don't think it's fair to say when you're playing the number one team in the country, it's a must-win game. I mean, Baylor, despite the loss, is still very good. Even if you think they're not the number one team in the country, probably a legitimate top 10 to 15 team. Their resume is great. I don't know that I'm convinced that they're a top 5 team at this point in time. And then the other factor here is you've still got, even if you lose the game to Baylor, I keep throwing this stat out there, but 11 of the next 14 games are going to be against top 60 RPI teams as it's composed right now. So you got plenty of opportunities still. It's a blessing and the curse of the Big 12 to pick up marquee wins. So I'm not going to call it a must-win game against Baylor, but it would sure go a long ways if you won this game. And I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, but what's happened this year is very similar to what happened the beginning of last year. There was enough in the non-conference to make you feel better about the team than I think what most anticipated, and you thought that there were bigger and better things to come on the horizon. A little bit different this year in that the pressure gauge is turned up. The heat is turned up because many believe it's a an NCAA tournament or bust year for the program. Last year, I think once Bruce Weber was given the chance to try and repair the program after the six guys leave in one offseason, you knew that next year was not going to be a postseason or die type of season. So there's a different kind of pressure here. Last year, you were playing more with house money and still never really backed up some of the tease that you put out there in the non-conference schedule. I mean, the team only won five conference games the entire season. There was a lot of close losses, a lot of playing well against teams that you think are pretty good, one of them being Baylor, in fact. That was one of the most surprising games last year, going to multiple overtimes with the Bears. There was a lot of that, but they never broke through with the actual substance. They were a complete tease last year. And so far, what we've seen this year is similar. Now, I think on a bigger scale, I mean, going into Allen Fieldhouse and playing Kansas to a two-point game where the end is controversial, I think that holds more weight and carries more than going into Baylor last year and playing an overtime game. So they've done more in terms of that. They've been a bigger tease so far this year, more promising, but have not broken through and really delivered on it. So what you're waiting for is that moment where they do start to pay some things off here and stop being just something that tantalizes you and makes you think and makes you believe and sucks you in, but never actually gives you the substance. That's what we're waiting for here, is the substance. Got like the icing without the cake right now. You need the meat and potatoes here from this team, which are actual wins in the Big 12 against top 100 at least. But excuse me, when you're talking about Baylor, some of the other teams you'll face in the Big 12, I mean, you got a chance for top 15, 20 RPI wins here throughout the rest of the schedule. So that is where I think the significance really lies here. You can go a long way towards actually bringing back some trust from your fans that this season is actually going in the right direction. Because I think after last year, what you went through with being teased in the same way, there's a little bit of the boy that cried wolf going on at this point in time. I mean, last year, you could see that the team looked better than you thought they were. They were competing hard. And then the message was reinforced a lot by Bruce Weber and some of the players when they would talk. Like, we heard over and over again, as I said yesterday, like, we're the best 8-8 team in the country, whatever the record was. We were this many possessions away from being in the tournament or being right there in, you know, the league race, being a top four team in the league. We heard that a lot, and that was fine last year. But the time span on being able to use that and have people actually be okay with that, I think, has come and gone. Now it's got to be the wins speak for themselves. You don't have to go out there and advocate for how good this team is, because the wins and the resume back that up. That's what needs to start happening, and you could take a big step towards that by beating Baylor tomorrow. The other thing at play here is that if you don't beat Baylor, it really, to me, changes the way that we're going to start looking at your next game, which is Oklahoma State. Get ready for that. Next week, the midweek game is going to Stillwater and playing Brad Underwood in Oklahoma State, something that I think we circled on the calendar a while back when Underwood was hired there and the K-State fan base had the reaction that they did to that hire. If you win and beat Baylor, people are going to be more focused on that and concentrating on that. A win over a number one team, a win that backs up everything that I just said about how much of a tease the season has been so far. It'll make you start believing about where this team is going. You'll start to view things in a more optimistic lens for the rest of the season. But if you lose, well, all of a sudden that is going to bring back in exactly what I think the program, as it's currently composed, would not want the discussion to go towards. Because then it's going to be, all right, 2-3, still haven't found a way to really break through and beat anybody other than the two virtual worst teams in the league in Oklahoma and Texas, and both of those games at home even. Can we actually win a game on the road against Oklahoma State? One, you couldn't beat Oklahoma State last year on the road, and that team was really bad. This year they've got supposedly a better coach. I think most people around here feel a better coach. And, by the way, he's the guy that a lot of people wanted to see hired here, even though it was an impossible situation. It was not going to happen. But so many people are upset about him not being the head coach here. You'll start hearing that talk a lot louder next week, coming off of a loss to Baylor. And people will be wanting to compare K-State going on the road to Oklahoma State in what's going to be, I'm sure, a real back against the wall Oklahoma State team, because they've got to go to Lawrence before then. They're going to be 0-5 in the Big 12 in all likelihood when K-State rolls into Stillwater for that game. So you'll be playing a wounded animal back against the wall in that game and have to be dealing with people just chomping at the bit waiting to jump on the Bruce Weber v. Brad Underwood comparisons there in Stillwater. I think you'll hear a lot more of that talk and a lot more of that focus from the fans if you're coming off a loss to Baylor going into that game, as opposed to if you win. If you win, that's going to shut people up, in essence, for a while, because more of the focus, more of the talk will be on the fact that you just beat the number one team in the country and finally took one of those big steps forward. So that, to me, is where the significance of the Baylor game tomorrow lies. Not a must win. There's plenty of time left in the season, plenty more games on the schedule. But the longer you get out, the further you get out here without any kind of marquee win in the Big 12, without any top 100 win at all, the more the fans are going to get antsy. And the more some of the talk about how close you've been in these games in the past is going to just grow old and fall on deaf ears, really, the more and more that continues to happen. So, got to go get Baylor from that standpoint, or else I fear we're going to be having to carry these same conversations into next week, and then we're going to add that extra element of Brad Underwood.
We'll see who shows up. I'm talking about the sixth man. I'm talking about the fans. I'm sure a lot of people are probably a little freaked out about the weather. It's not going to be a packed house. If it was normal weather, clear, packed house probably.
I would think so. I would think so, and that honestly does not help you. That does not help you, but much like the officiating at the end of the Texas Tech game didn't necessarily help you either, I'm not a fan of being one to sit here and harken back to that as any kind of reason that you were going to lose the game. You've got to go out and actually get one. We'll hear about Baylor from John Morris, the play-by-play voice of the Bears, at 5:10. Why were people so wrong on Baylor? Not a single vote in the top 25 at the beginning of the year. They're currently now the number one team in the country. But when we come back, a special guest in studio, the return of John in Vegas, and I'll tell you about a mental hurdle that I just can't get over. Loaded segment, my friend. Stay tuned. It's The Game.